God's not done with this city. He's not done with this country. He's not done with you. You know, we sang that song. I love that song, Inside Out. He's working on us from the inside out. Everybody's trying to worry. Everybody worries about the outside. Oh, do I look just right to go to church? Come to church. What's your heart? That's what God looks at. That's what you're going to be judged in. Well, you know, God knows my heart. Yeah, absolutely. And right now, he might condemn you. Just FYI, a lot of people like to throw that around. I've seen tattoos on people being arrested, you know, being thrown in the back of a cruiser, tattoos that say, only God can judge me. Well, drug dealing and prostituting and all that stuff, you pretty much judged yourself. There's a whole bunch more stuff that Jesus talked about. But what I'm here to tell you today, you're in the right place at the right time. You're not here by accident. You're here because God brought you here. This body, God has showed us years ago that the purpose of this body was the believers that will stand. We will be, when the waves are beaten against that lighthouse, we're holding the light up. The light can't do its job if it's on the ground, now can it? It's got to be in the air. It's got to be up where people can see it. Jesus said you don't hide a light under a bushel. No, you said you put it on a stand so that everybody can see it. You want to know what your purpose is? Is to hold up the light. Let the light of Christ shine through you in everything you do. Praise God. Well, if you weren't aware, today is War on the Floor. So if you've got prayer requests that aren't in here yet, make sure you give them to our usher and he'll get them to me. I got a short message this morning, then we're going to pray. But I'm just here to let you know, I look back and God was leading us up to this. Because usually it's Sunday morning before I realize, oh, it's War on the Floor. Because I'm working on my message. And I look back, I'm like, God, you totally set this thing up. So that I would have actually a break, and what I got to say today only solidifies what we're going to do today. So don't ever think that, oh, God doesn't orchestrate things. God doesn't. He has set things in motion long time ago for you to be here. So let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today through the blood of Christ and in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we present to you today our offerings. Our tithes, Lord, they are holy. They are sanctified. We present them to you. Lord, your word says that if we'd bring the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, that you would open the windows of heaven, pour out blessing, that we would not have room to receive them. Now, Father, I pray that your word stays in the heart of each and every person, that when they give you their tithe, Lord God, that it is there, that they stand on it through thick and thin. And Father, that when they watch your hand move mightily on their behalf, they can say, my God is faithful. Receive it now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids can be dismissed. It's funny when you get to stand up here and you watch how the progression of things happen. You know, stand up here, I've watched Maverick now for, 2 months? He's always swaddled up. Grandma or grandpa or mommy or daddy's got him. He's all swaddled up, sleeping, and now he's sitting there on daddy's lap, looking at me, paying attention to what's going on around him. Probably has absolutely no comprehension of what's going on, but that's all right. Sometimes that's a good place to be. Well, you know, we've been talking about our words primarily is where we were going with this, because the message isn't done. The Lord showed me last week that I'd forgot a couple of very critical issues, but we're not getting into those right today because God has showed me there's some things we need to look at in his word, because today we've got some big things to be praying about. I mean, they're always big, right? But, you know, this country, we're a month away from electing the president. And the devil is throwing everything he can at this country. And so what we're going to do is I want us to be praying and believing. Now, none of the scriptures I have today are going to come up here. So, because I forgot to give them to them. I have them, I marked them in my with my little ribbons in my Bible, but I didn't write them down. So, but we're living in such a time right now, folks. We have got to be careful what we're saying and whether we're saying what we believe or not. I read you where Jesus said you'll be held accountable for every idle word. That's every word you spoke you really didn't mean. Lord, I believe that you're going to do this. Well, I really don't, but I said it so people would get off my back. You ever done that? I did, a few times. A few dozen times. Yeah, okay. I didn't really believe it. There were so many things I didn't believe until finally something happened. And I'm like, wait a minute. I actually believe. I remember the day that I actually felt kind of grown up in my faith. By the way, I was 31, and the first time I got baptized, I was 8. So you tell me. But that had nothing to do with it. It was all, I finally feel grown up. And I'm here to tell you that the faith walk is actually simpler than what people have tried to turn it into. I'm not here to make $1 million off of a message. I'm not here to make a following. But I'm here to impact people so that when you walk out that door, because as you know, life in here is not life out there, is it? When you go back out there, you're in reality. Not that this isn't reality. That's why they call it a sanctuary. You come in, I pray that you leave your garbage on the other side of that door. And I pray even more that when you walk outside that door, you don't pick it back up. Okay? So let's open, if you got your Bible, open to Matthew 18, 19. And these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Two. Is there more than two in here today? We're going to go to God and we're going to ask him to touch our president. To touch your loved one. To move in your life. Are you in agreement with that? Are you going to believe what we're praying for? Because if you're not, I hope by the time we pray for it, you actually now can get in agreement with it. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, I want to say 10, but don't hold me to that. Now that I say it, it's not right, but he told the Corinthians, "I pray that you would all be of the same mind." Now, this particular area, he was talking about, one says, "I'm Paul, I'm of Barnabas, blah, blah, blah." But he pointed out something, same mind and same judgments, that you all are paying attention and you're all in agreement on things. This country has to turn its heart back to God, period. The church needs to turn its heart back to God. It's not about padding our walls so that we're a little more comfortable. It's not about that. This place is temporary. Very, very temporary. But Jesus himself told us that if we would agree, two, just two of us, that's why you don't need all 1,500 of your friends on Facebook to agree with you in prayer. You need one more faith-filled person, and that is it. Then Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." When my wife and I come into agreement on something, and we're praying for something, and we're believing for something, God moves in our lives. That's why the message, the short little message that I do during the wedding ceremonies, that now you're seeing something. Kenneth Copeland brought that out, and I think it's so great. There's something new, something that has never existed before. Now when those two agree on something, the powers of hell cannot stand against them. And so that's why Jesus said it is important that you agree. When we start praying for things and things, yes, you can pray for things. Surprise, surprise. Has anybody else in here figured out how to live without things? You gotta have things. I just as soon get good things, good deals on those things. For the longest time, I'll share this with I'm tickled. For the longest time, you know, we've lived out there nearly 7 years now, which is hard to believe. But every time there is a hard rain, our driveway washes out. I mean, it is the Grand Canyon. If you got two-wheel drive, you better learn how to straddle it. Four-wheel drive, you better lock it in and go on up. But this week, you know, it was just like the house we got now. I said, God, I quit. I quit looking. I'm done searching. If you want me to move, you're going to make the door open. Well, I got to that. I needed a tractor with a blade to pull my driveway back out of the road because that's where it inevitably went. I have a county worker who lives next door. And they made sure they paved the road right through there. And it's beautiful. It's nice. It's quiet. It's smooth. But then my driveway washes out and it's got all this gravel in it, and that just tears it up. And I'm like, I don't want to tear up my road. That's my road. My road. Y'all understand? I take possession of that because technically I am paying taxes to the middle of that thing. And I'm like, I got to keep pulling that driveway back up. And so I got to where I was like, you know what, God? And I told her, I said, I'm not looking anymore. I'm not going to pursue getting a tractor right now. If God wants me to have a tractor, he's going to make the way. And doggone it, I'm just stressing myself out. Okay, I'm a dreamer. If you don't know what a dreamer is, there's somebody, they can see a pile of horse poo and they think there's a horse nearby. Okay? They aren't looking at the pile of poo. I had to clean out a barn. I know I'm on another rabbit trail, but I had to clean out a barn one time when I was 10 that was full of beer cans. I mean, we are talking, it was, I don't know how many pounds of beer cans were in there. But I'm chucking in beer cans out because I found a fishing lure. And that just sparked it. If there's one fishing lure, there can be two. And guess what? There was. I found the tackle box. That was my reward for cleaning that barn out. Because it was for our church. But I've been praying. I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm done trying to figure this out, how to do this. And so I just sit there, you know, I'm on Facebook, but I'm not on Facebook, especially right now. If you don't see or hear much of me, don't worry. I'm still there. I'm just on Marketplace. I'm done with all the political crap. Yeah, I love Marketplace. But I came across this tractor. I'm like, oh, Lord, that sounds like that's exactly what I wanted. I looked at it and I said, but Lord, I have this thing. I will not go and move on something like that until I have prayed about it and until I have slept on it. Get rid of the excitement. Oh, I got to have it. And I said, Lord, if it's mine, it'll be there. And I closed that out, went to sleep, came up next day. Oh, still there. Justin's always, Dad, are you going to get it? I said, nope. I said, God has not moved on me to move. All right. Well, it sold. I was like, oh, man, it was just right down the road in Fredericktown. I was like, oh, okay. But lo and behold, I don't even remember how I got to this other one, but I found the same tractor, better condition, with the actual John Deere buck or loader on it. And I ended up getting it for $1,500 less than what the other guy wanted, and his tractor was really a piece of junk. Didn't have tractor tires on the front, didn't have a seat, it was metal, just a pan, the seat was gone. The loader was not a John Deere loader. And God opened up the door, and I got a John Deere tractor sitting in my driveway. Now, I tell you that because that was the desire of my heart, and my wife came into agreement with it. Now, I will tell you, gentlemen, you might want to learn, if you're going to get your wife in agreement with something, make sure you're not telling her what's going to happen first. I didn't realize that that's exactly what I had done. She's like, well, I was just kind of hoping you'd ask me what I'd think. And then the light came on. I'm like, oh. Well, you know, and I tried to justify it. I said, but you need to understand. And I said, okay, what do you think? She says, I think that's a great idea. Man, I had all the jobs. I said, honey, I won't have to lift logs anymore. I can just pick them up. I can do this. I can grade the driveway. Every time it rains, I can go back out there and pull it up. I can do this and I can do that. I can come to the church and straighten up the driveway after the snow and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah, it's a good idea. You don't have to tell God that. But I'm telling you this because I gave up. I quit looking on my own and God brought it. He made it happen. So when we agree on something, it happened. And just like that, boom. Joshua has said, and I've shared it before, he said, Dad, why don't worry about it. You know if you want it, God's going to bring it. You just get the things that you want at the right time. You need to understand, timing is everything with God. If God had given me a Mustang when I was 17 years old versus 30, well, I might not have a driver's license to this day. But he waited until some of the testosterone started to chill out a little bit and the foot got a little lighter. Not that it's exactly super light now, but I am not driving like a maniac like I used to. So anyhow, Mark 11:23. It says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You will have the things that God is bringing, trying to bring into your life, but you've got to believe God. And that doesn't mean you keep bombarding the gates of heaven with prayer requests every 5 minutes for a tractor. I quit praying about it and asking God. I was just doing my part. You know, I do my due diligence. I'm searching, Lord. Like I said, I don't even remember how I found this one. It just showed up I was checking the tractor out, and it just happened to the data and stuff. I wanted to know more about it, and this one showed up, and I thought, that one's actually a nicer tractor. It's got a seat, it's got a roll bar on it, really good tires, which, you know, those are nearly $2,000 each. And so God moved, not because I was sitting here throwing prayers and seeing if something's going to stick. Because I believed. I said, God, I trust you. I know when you're going to move. I know what's going to happen. We do have certain parts of things we have to do. But it isn't doubting him, because that's kind of what we're like. We're like a little child. Has anybody got a child who has ever done that to you? Daddy, please, 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 please. Go ask your mom. Mommy, please, please. Go ask your dad. In our house, it was, I said no. And, you know, sometimes she would send the boys to me because she didn't care, but she wanted to know what I thought. And they said, Mom didn't care. I said, well, if Mom don't care, I guess I don't really care. But sometimes kids, it's their nature. It's in our nature to keep thinking that if we just wear them down, I'm going to wear Mom and Dad down. They're going to get me this. We've told the boys, you guys have got, if you want that, you need to earn it. If I buy it, you need to show me that you're mature enough to handle it. You don't give an 8-year-old a big 4-wheeler. If you do, I promise you, you're going to end up with an 8-year-old upside down under a 4-wheeler somewhere. He's not big enough. You buy appropriate. But you make that 8-year-old prove that, hey, I'm not going to be stupid on this. By the way, if there's testosterone in their veins at all, they're going to be stupid. I can vouch for that. I'll just tell you right now. Because I have done too many stupid things. And yet, I am still here. So Jesus said, don't doubt. I just read to you the other day out of James. Well, I'm going to read it again. James 1, verse 5, or verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. You have to believe and you have to stand that this is what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe he is the King of Kings. I believe he is my healer, my deliverer. You have to believe that for you too. By the way, what God does for me, he will do for you. He's no respecter of persons. All he has ever asked is for us to just believe. Remember the man brought his son? He was possessed by a demon that would throw him into the fire. And the disciples couldn't do it. And they brought him to Jesus. And he said, all things are possible to him who believes. Just believe. Only believe. That was it. That was all he told the man. Only believe. You have got to believe that God loves you the same as he loves somebody else. Well, I see God moving in their life. They're so happy. Listen, it's not that our life is always Shangri-La, but we choose rather to rejoice in the Lord during those times and find our joy and our peace in God, not in what's going on right then. Life is not very fun a lot of times. But we stand knowing that God is going to see us through. God will see us through this time in this country. Political garbage like this, listen, it started day one. If Joe and Faye aren't here today, but if he were here, he would tell you. Every presidential election, there has been slandering, there has been this, there has been that, there have actually been gunshots. Hey, thank God we're not there. We have got to remember to pray. That's why we're told to pray for our leaders. Besides the fact that the word tells us that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand and he turns it like a river, however he wants it. One, that's why we have to pray according to the will of God. We have to pray these things according to the will of God. Why? Because God knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. He knows why you're in your situation you're in right now. There's something you needed to do. You weren't ready. For a Mustang, I wasn't grown up enough. Put simple, cut and dry. But worse than that, I was very immature about how I would have placed that car on a pedestal right here. That would have become my God. And I will tell you right now, the worst thing you can do in your life is put anything other than God, not even your family, to put anything on a pedestal that is exalting itself above God. He's not fond of that. And especially for people who claim to be believers. But I was telling you about that tractor, and I told Joshua, we went up to pick it up, and I said, I told your mom, I said, there's very few things in my life I have been this excited about. I said, I am excited about this. I said, I'm just giddy. I said, I can't explain it. You need to understand, this is not a brand new tractor. It's 46 years old. It's almost as old as me. I was 4 when it was made. I'm excited. I wasn't this excited for my new truck. Yep, it's a new truck. It's pretty. It's expensive. It's sitting there. Don't scratch it. I'm excited. I wasn't even this excited for my motorcycle. And I was pretty excited about that. You need to make sure the things don't become your God. Ask Him. Put it right here. All right, now God, I've asked you. The request is out. Do you understand? When your words go out, they can never come back. You can't take them back, and they will always be going forward. I believe that's why we're seeing, with the Hubble telescope, we're seeing new planets and stars and universes being created. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't stop. What He started did not stop. He put something in motion that kept going. And what He has started, He is faithful to finish. So when you put these words forth, don't doubt that you're praying and believing God for something. Well, I haven't thought about that. Praise God you haven't thought about it. Maybe it means your mind is on something better. Not that what you asked Him for, because you'll find, look back and say, I didn't even realize I'd asked God for this. Here, this, and I'm serious about this. I want you to go home. Make a list of things you're going to believe God for. Things. And we're talking salvation for your family too. We're talking jobs. We're talking whatever it is you're asking God for. If you're needing a new car, put it on there. Put the type you want. Put the color you want. Put the interior, the motor, everything you want on that paper. It's not that that works. It's that that keeps God's word in your heart. I asked you, Lord, for this. Since we moved, you know, anybody that's ever moved after being in one place for 15 years, you know, you spend the next 10 years finding stuff. We're at 7 and we're still finding stuff. But I've come across lists that we've done exactly that. We wrote down what we wanted. We sat there and we looked and I was like, huh, we didn't check that off. But we've had that and replaced that 10 years ago. It came and went. We didn't even realize it, but we sat down and we prayed over it. Said, Lord, these are things. Lord, we'd love to go on vacation. Anybody ever done that? Lord, I just, a vacation. I have no idea what that is. We didn't take vacations as kids. We couldn't afford to. Our vacation was, you want to guess? Funerals. That's when we got to go out of state. But we're like, God, I don't know what a vacation is. What do you do on vacation? Do you sit in there and think about work and home? No, that's exactly the opposite of what you should be doing. Go on your vacation. Leave home at home. Go to the beach. Enjoy the beach. Go to the mountains. Go fishing. Go whatever it is you want to do on your vacation, except work. That's not vacation. That's work. All right? No. But whatever it is you're asking, this is what I want you to, seriously, want you to do. I don't care how old you are. As long as you're still breathing, God still got purpose for you. God, what do I want for my children? What do I want for my grandchildren? Put it on there. We listed godly women for our sons. We're getting them. We sit back and we just watch. And I just have to laugh. Not because I think it's hilarious. It's because it's all I can do. He's a good God. And when you ask Him for something, He will bring it. That's why today when we ask Him to move in this country, we had better believe that He's going to move. We may not understand the move. But it starts in places like this, where people dare to believe. Ha, ha, ha. You mean God? Sarah laughed, remember? And what did the angel of the Lord, by the way, you do know who the angel of the Lord who went into Abraham's tent was that day, right? Luke told you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was the angel of the Lord, capitalized. It was not Michael, it was not Gabriel, it was not any other, but Jesus, the Son of God, told him, you will have a child, and she laughed. Why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. Come on. It's the Son of God. He knew you were going to laugh. Why did you laugh? Maybe her joy was fulfilled. That's why I was giddy. I was like, oh, not that I couldn't have gone on. I mean, my neighbor, I was the only one on my road without a tractor loader. The only one. And I caught that one day and I told my neighbor, she bought me this little Ford loader tractor. And I kept it on my desk and I've still got it. So when I got my tractor the next morning, I got it up, drove it over there, and I showed him my tractor. It's not as nice as everybody else's, but it will be. I can't leave stuff alone. But God will move, and He will. You just find my joy is not in that tractor. My joy is in my God is faithful. Now, see if I can find it. It's not that I got to find it. I got to find my marker. Not all my markers are long enough to stick out the end of my Bible. I don't know what happens, but they get tied in a knot. But 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the battle with David and Goliath. Anybody up against a Goliath right now? You can show me. I have a few of you. There's a Goliath in your life. There's a Goliath standing there daring you to do something. Daring you to say something. Daring you to believe that God's going to move. First off, you need to understand something. That rock did not actually kill him. If it was the case, I'd be dead. Just throwing that out there. Rocks to the head don't always kill, especially between the eyes up here. That was the only place he could hit him, was right there. I've been hit with baseball bats, crowbars, and rocks, and baseballs. You make sure, that's one lesson you learn when you're playing baseball. Don't miss. Your forehead had better be hard. Do you know what killed him? It was the power of God that came out of that slingshot because of the faith of David that hit him. The rock knocked him down. It was the power of God that slayed him. Gideon, 300 against 20,000. Come on. I wouldn't take the village of Mount Gilead up against 20,000. You're going to get your can handed to you. It was the power of God that moved. And David understood this. You need to understand something. It's not that you're such a great person and such a great prayer warrior. It's the power of God that you believe in. And if your faith is in you, well, whatever I pray, he does. And, you know, I'm going to pray this. Well, if you're not praying according to the Word of God, it ain't happening. I'm going to go to, hang on a second. All right. Verse 45, chapter 17. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Oh, come on. We're talking about a roughly 17-year-old boy going up a combat vet. Somebody who's fought hand to hand, not just with men my size, but with men possibly his size. And he's still alive to tell the stories. And this is the audacity of true faith. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Is there a God in the United States today? Amen. You better believe there is. He wants people to repent. He didn't ask us to kill them. That is not the job of the church. He wants us praying for them. I think so many battles could have been averted, so many wars could have been stopped if the people of God had been praying instead of bickering amongst themselves over whose translation of the Bible is better, King James or New King James, NIV or Amplified. Who cares? Truth is truth. By the way, if you take the word, if you take God out of the Bible, you take the blood out of the Bible, throw it away. It ain't a Bible. It's a fantasy. You take the power of God out of the Bible like Thomas Jefferson did, wrote his own Bible. Believed in God but didn't believe in the power of God or the miracle. So he had them all stricken and he wrote his own Bible. What faith is that? Why do I want to believe in somebody that's like me? I want to believe. I need that miracle working power. The miracle working power that I know God moves. That God takes a bad situation because of something we did and turns it around. I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting liberals and conservatives. We're fighting demonic powers that have been in this world since Jesus put Adam on it. That's how far back this thing goes. And the thing is, we have been given the authority. What Jesus Christ did, he was dead, buried, resurrection, and he took the hell, or took the gates of hell, he took their keys. We possess that power. Not that we may be going around and having people bow down to us, that is an abuse. And God will hold those people in judgment. But what we have been given is power over the enemy, against everything the enemy may bring against you and your family. I know many of you, your families, you're watching, you've seen your families walk away from God. It's time to take care of the real source. Every demonic influence that has come and told them, you're okay. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You're good with God. But yet in your heart, they don't believe. That's why we will be held accountable. Somebody said a prayer. I said a prayer. A couple times I said a prayer. But I was 21 when I meant it. 21. And it was, there was no religious experience. Angels didn't come down. I didn't see angels going back and forth on ladders or elevators or anything else. There was nothing else. I was just thinking, dear God, can I stand up without the world spinning? But I told him, I said, Lord, if there's anything you can do with my life, I want to know you. I don't want to know you through a preacher. I don't want to know you through my wife. I don't want to know you through my parents. I want to know you. And when you get to that point, you can ask whatever you will, and God will move. And I want to see my family. I want to see their hearts turn. Now, get this, I know they have free will. But I don't have to let the enemy run roughshod over them. You have the power in the spiritual realm to put every demon in hell on his knees. Don't think that all you can do is stand back. Oh, bless God. I've told you before, if you don't know what to pray, pray in the spirit. That's why he gave us that for. Not to make people stupid and weird. But the church has somehow made that the show. It isn't about that. It's about going in and taking back what belongs to us. This world, ladies and gentlemen, this world belongs to God. That's my problem with every preacher that says, I hate this world. I don't hate the planet Earth. This is God's. And he gave it to Adam. And when Jesus came, and Adam gave it away, Jesus came, took it back from the enemy, and it's mine. I'm a very possessive person. We all technically are. But I got to tell you something. So many people do not become possessive about things. This is my town. I wasn't raised here. I don't even live in here anymore. But this is my town. This is my county. This is my state. This is my country. Mine. If it's not anybody else's, it's mine. I've told you before, you've got to take possession. This is my church. It's the Lord's. He gave it to you. It's yours too. And that's why when the devil comes at you and he hits you, you know, Tim and Sarah, they weren't feeling well. They chose to stay home. But we prayed for them. They're my brother and sisters. And I'm not real thrilled about what the devil's doing to people. And that is what happens. I despise what the enemy is doing to people's families. And he's used religion, not a relationship with Christ. By the way, if you can get knocked away that quick, they didn't have a real relationship. Because the reason I joined the Marines and got the heck away from everybody else was because religion had showed its ugly head and I was tired of getting stung. I thought, God, you can't find me in the Marine Corps. I mean, they're the worst of the worst. Well, lo and behold, he let me run for about 18 months. Had that hook in my mouth. Boy, I had that meat and I'm going, that worm was going. And he went, shink. So what's it like? What's it like wondering if you're going to not wake up? You know, that's not exactly the thought I really wanted to think about today, Lord. It took me doing it. Had to come to the end of myself. I couldn't be sufficient. And God gave me somebody I didn't want to disappoint. So you came back to the Lord because of a woman? Yeah. Yeah. Don't tell me that God doesn't use things in your life. I didn't want to disappoint her, but I didn't want to go to hell. And I was still in question in my mind. And that's why I say, why play around? Get in all the way. Jump in. Water's fine. Oh, but people think I'm fanatical. Does anybody have a bunch of red and gray garbage hanging around their house with a big O on it? Just asking for a friend. Or any brown and orange and white stuff, or possibly black and gold. Want to talk fanatical? Exactly. So why shouldn't God be a part of my life every day? Why shouldn't I thank him for the day? Why shouldn't I go forth and believe what he said? Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I be a little fanatical? I realize that there's a point you can't just shove Christ down people's throat. They aren't going to take it. But they'll come to the point where they'll be receptive to it. And it's only going to come with prayer. Because I can tell you right now, my mama would, whenever I'd speak, well, so how are you doing? I knew what she meant. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I knew exactly what mama meant. And just pray for me. Then I got a wife. I got two people who love me praying for me. So my running wasn't going to be long. But it came to the point where I had to realize that God needed me. He wanted me. God wants you. God wants your family. He wants your children. He didn't bring you this far to let your inheritance go away. So today, as we're praying, are these the prayer requests? We got a whole pile of them over here. Okay. We've got things we need to pray for. People we're going to be praying for. So you got it. Praise God. Josh got a new job. Okay. Now, this first prayer request we're going to be praying for those of you know, COVID has wreaked havoc across this country in churches, schools, whatever. It has showed its ugly head. But one of the things it's done is it's kept people away. And, you know, Miss Rosalie has not been here, but she won't be coming back. She's been put in assisted living. Some of you knew, but she's at a point where she can't take care of herself anymore. Athena, her daughter, kept finding her on the floor, and she thought she was just fine. So they've put her there to help her be safe, okay? She's been doing good. Sounds like things have even gotten a little bit better with round-the-clock care, but she is, if you need the address, she is still at Presidential. I guess I got to put my glasses back on, because that didn't look like center. She's in the permanent residence at Presidential Center, and we'll be praying for Tim and Athena as well, because they have a lot of decisions yet to make and things they've got to do, because Athena's an only child, so it's all on her. But, you know, we miss Miss Rose, and, you know, we pray that as she's in this period in her life, that God is ministering love to her. Sorry. But yeah, but if you need the address, please contact the office, and we'll get you the address and for over there. Because she does enjoy getting mail. So, you know, just know that. Just because she's in there doesn't mean that our love stops at the door. Our love went with her as she transitioned over to there. She's actually been over there for a little bit, but now she is going to be taking up permanent residence. Due to the fact that the doctor said she can't take care of herself. So we're going to be praying for that. But like I said, we just wanted to let you know, because she's a member of this church. You know, so, yeah. And so we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying for this country. Folks, I don't care what side of the religious, or not religious, but the political agenda you are on, as long as you're on the side that doesn't believe in abortion, I don't care. That's all I say. I don't care. You know what? Somebody can be a racist. I can't make you love another person. And it wasn't too long ago in this country, we pointed out that we hated Catholics. We hated the Irish. Hate. There's a lot of groups in this country that have been singled out and should absolutely not be. Because I can promise you, you keep, which you do your DNA testing, you might find out you got some surprise wood in your wood pile. That family tree's got roots all over this planet. But murdering babies. God has held every nation accountable for that. The land of Canaan, people don't realize the land of Canaan, it was ritual sacrifice of children. Well, I thought it was all the sexual perversions. It wasn't as much that as it was killing babies to idols. Babies. If that don't make you sick, and what are we doing? we're killing babies in the name of convenience. Well, it's not a convenient time for me to be pregnant. Well, go get on birth control. Well, I'm not going down that route. It makes me angry that people think it's okay to kill. It's just not right. They protest war, but yet they turn around and they want to kill an innocent baby. Something's wrong in their medulla oblongata. That's all I can say. But we're going to be praying for these things. But we need to be praying for this nation on our own as well. I mean, you don't have to spend an hour praying unless God leads you to that. Those words go out of your mouth. They don't come back. They're going forth. As their words of faith, they're going forth and they're going to do what God has said is going to happen. So with that in mind, let's go before the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Lord God, we lift up our brothers and our sisters all across this planet right now, Lord. We ask, Father, that you strengthen them in their faith. Strengthen their resolve to stand in the face of death, in the face of persecution, Lord God. Give them the boldness to tell people about you, to tell them that you love them and to lead other people to Christ. So, Father, we thank you that you're moving in that. But, Father, we also come before you to bring these requests, these concerns. Father, we lift up our dear sister Rosalie, Father, as she is in this assisted